Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Lopez, so McClain, John McClain, joined us a week or two ago and said he wanted to hear from Lovie Smith.
Correct.
I describe that press conference as, and I'm admittedly overly emotional at times, especially when it comes to press conferences, but J-Lo, I describe that press conference as the worst that I've ever heard from a Texans coach. Did you think I was overreacting?
I did. I said it on these airwaves. I didn't agree with you, but I agreed with you in one very important aspect of it, and that's when, well, you'll hear. You'll hear what he said.
The game appears to have passed him by.
No, I didn't say that. No, when he talked about implementing his defense.
Yeah, what?
Implementing his defense.
I think he said he needs half a decade to be able to do that. Joining us now, the man who got his wish, John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. John, before we hear what Lovie Smith had to say, what was your takeaway from your time, your first face-to-face time with Lovie Smith last week?
Oh, I thought he was good. Oh, he answered a question. I asked him about his team's doing well at forcing turnovers. He needs somebody like Charles Tillman, who is as good as I've ever seen at forcing fumbles. But let me ask you, Landry, who was a good news conference for you that you came away going, that guy was good?
This year?
Anytime.
I mean, it's...
Because usually you don't like them, and I'm thinking you're looking for something... I'm looking for information. What would have made Lovie Smith's Zoom call good to
you? I feel like you should have been disappointed if you were looking for information from Lovie Smith. That's what I was looking for. But I got
information that I needed to write two columns out of it.
Man, well, that's why you're a legend, because I couldn't have written a sentence of information based on
well,
what
I'm
he told
me. Well, I'm not a legend,
me.
But I needed information about the defense. And and switch to the 4-3 and about forcing turnovers, because last year they were the second worst in the NFL since 1980, and that's one of his specialties. So I'm eager to see how that works out. But what would have made it good for you?
Just him not sounding like a guy who didn't really have a grasp of the modern NFL, a guy who needed over 4 years to install a defense at Illinois. Outside of what we've seen from Lovie recently, where his Tampa Bay defenses weren't that good and his Illinois defenses were near the bottom of the Big Ten, I would have liked to have heard a guy who seemed to have a better grasp of the modern-day NFL. That's what I wanted to hear.
I don't pay any attention to what somebody did in college. Just like when Alabama hired Nick Saban, they paid no attention to what he did in the NFL. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten hired. And so I go back when Lovie was the head coach to Tampa, they didn't have any talent. And so a lot of that has to do with talent. He wasn't able to recruit good talent to Illinois, but I'm keeping an open mind about it because I don't think you just get stupid over time, considering what he was able to go to the Super Bowl as defensive coordinator and Super Bowl's head coach. And he got fired after a 10-6 season with an 84-66 record, including 3-3 in the playoffs. So I know he's fired up to be back in the NFL, and he's not going to run the Tampa 2 exclusively. He's going to do combination man zones. He's going to rotate his front. He's going to do a lot of different things, and it's going to be based on what he told us, based on the talent and what they're able to do.
Here is Lovie Smith. We'll start and pause with John McClain. Lovie Smith's introductory press conference last week, which you heard right here on Sports Radio 610.
You know, explaining, defining our defensive philosophy, we just want – there's some things we want to get accomplished, you know, defensively. It all kind of starts with how you win football games, scoring points. So, I like for us to have a defense that realizes that number one goal is to score. The second goal we have would be to take the ball away.
Okay.
We need to be good on third downs.
Good goal.
In order to accomplish that, though, we want a smart defense that's fundamentally sound,
okay,
that plays hard each down. Hey, I'm a product of Texas high school football and proud of it. Some of the same fundamentals that Coach Glenn Arnold, who coaches high school basketball here for 50 years in Houston, the Houston area, taught. We're teaching the same thing still to this day. So excited about a new group coming in and everybody starting from scratch and showing us exactly who they are, plus to put the best 11 guys on the football field to help us win games.
There we go. So put the best 11 on, force turnovers, be good on third down, be fundamentally sound, and we will be very good.
Got to score touchdowns, too.
Hey, I don't know if the Pride Defensive of Copper's Cove, Peanut Tillman's going to be walking through that door anytime soon, but it would be very nice if he did.
They need to find somebody like Peanut Tillman, who was not a first-round pick, and then have him develop. Lovey had good defensive players in Chicago. We had good defensive players in Tampa when he coached linebackers. When I met him, he had good defense players in St. Louis. And this team doesn't have a lot of talent right now, and everybody knows it. So I don't think this season, when I think they're going to be the worst team in the league, well, one of the worst, if not the worst, that it's going to be an accurate barometer of what kind of coaches they got.
Well, that's kind of where I was going to go there. I have another point that you're going to hear from Lovey, and I'll talk about that. But, I mean, you said earlier he didn't have a lot of talent when he was a head coach at Tampa. The Texans don't have a lot of talent on the defense
right
side.
That's why they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
So I don't understand. I mean, is Lovey Smith also just a bridge coach? Like, some of these players are bridge players, because I don't see where they're going to be anything close to the defenses that we may have seen from him in the past.
Well, why would we think he's a bridge coach if they get some talent in there?
Well, the point is, the game passes by coaches just like it does players. And
so you guys are sure the game's passed him by?
No. He sounds like it.
No.
He sounds like it.
I'm asking the question, John. That's what we're doing here. I'm just saying.
Well, what did he say that made it sound like when he said he wanted to score on defense?
No.
Forced turnovers.
Well, no, that's all fine. That's coach speak, and that's good, and I didn't expect anything else. Landry didn't like the press conference more than I didn't like it. I didn't like this part right here that you're going to hear.
Love you. You're taking over defense. It was one of the worst in NFL history at forcing turnovers. What can you do, even though you got a lot of new players and a lot of them are gone? What is the key to forcing turnovers?
First off, John, it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
And I know people say, well, turnovers just come. I don't believe that.
Who says that?
When you come and watch us practice, you're going to see an emphasis.
Who says turnovers just come? All right, go
I
ahead.
I think they say once you get one, they come in droves.
Who?
That's what coaches say.
Who is saying that? That person.
I've had coaches. Romeo said it last year. Well, defensive coaches always say that once you get one or two, then they come in droves.
Speaking of guys,
that's
the
what
games
he meant.
Pass by.
This is being placed on that daily. It starts talking about it first of things that you have to get done. If you're not taking the ball away, if you're not good on third downs, if you're not scoring, you're not a good defense. It's just not about total yards. So that's for some reason, but we've been able to get that accomplished just about everywhere we've been. And it's going to start with a basic philosophy to the players, and they're going to buy into it. And we're going to be teaching it every day, just like we're going to be teaching tackling.
I love it. Since you.
Let him continue, because this is the troubling part. Right there is that's basic ways, all that, so on and so forth. Here's where it gets really kind of troubling for me, John.
You have last been in the NFL. What's something you think schematically offenses are doing differently now that affects what you have to do as a defensive coordinator now, maybe and emphasize more than you did before?
Well, I think when we initially left NFL, it's probably more adjustments we had to make then. You know, the college game, it's a lot more run, quarterback run, dominated offenses. I think our system, you know, what we, you know, and everybody has a system, you tweak it from year to year, but I don't think we'll have to adjust ours that much. I just think that now we'll be able to run our, we in college, we weren't able to run our entire system. You know,
We, most of the time, you go three receivers. We kept our base defense on the field. We didn't play our nickel package as much. So I think our defense is more suited for the NFL game.
See, John, this is the part where that my radar went up a little bit. You know this. I mean, more and more teams. In fact, I would venture to say the vast majority of NFL teams, or the majority of teams, now run some concepts of zone read. And he said he did. He couldn't implement it because of the college offenses. NFL teams are running college offenses now.
A lot of them do. A lot of every team runs zone reads, and every defense has got to be prepared for it. And Lovey was in the NFL from, I think, 96, or at least that's when I met him in Tampa, 96 through when he got fired by the Bears after the 2012 season. And so if he wasn't paying attention, he said he was. So like I said, I don't think you forget. Like if I was out of the business for 5 years, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't forget how to write. But I might have to change the way I write, which I have done based on I've had to adjust to the way journalism has changed, just the way I've adjusted talk shows since I first started doing them in Houston in 1976. And I'm pretty sure Lovey is smart and experienced enough to know that when he comes back, he said he's going to have multiple defenses based on the talent. So I'm perfectly happy to give him a chance, as I am David Culley, Nick Caserio, and everybody else, and not base my feelings on him, how he does in his first Zoom call.
No, it's really based on what he's done the last 6-7 years of coaching, if we're being fair about it. I mean,
can't get away from Ellen. You just can't get away from college, can you?
Well, I think I've seen a lot of defensive coordinators show up on college campuses and at least be able to improve the defense somewhat. And I feel like the gap between college offenses and pro offenses, while there is a difference, it's closer than it's ever been. So when I hear a guy, and I see a guy, most importantly, struggle defensively as a coach in Tampa Bay the 2 years that he was the head coach, and then go to Illinois, and let's be honest, the Big Ten is not like some sort of groundbreaking spread offense. Like, he wasn't coaching in the Big 12 or SEC or something like that. Like, he was in the Big Ten, if we're being honest. Like, I based on the body of work, based on what our initial comments were, based on the fact that he can't really give me any tangible examples of the scheme, based on the fact that he's saying three wide receiver sets made it difficult for him to do what he did, that's scary to me, especially when I'm watching the NFL and I know that Jacksonville has three wide receivers and they're going to have Shenault in the slot. Titans like to work the slot. The Colts, T.Y. Hilton's going to be in the slot. They're going to have three wide receivers out there. Like, when I hear a guy act like three wide receiver sets is like the revolution of the run and gun or something like that, it kind of scares me and makes me wonder if this guy is the right guy to coach this defense.
Only time will tell.
No, that's true. And like I said, I have nothing but respect for the man, and I know what he's done in the NFL. All I was wanting to point out to you is when he said that – whether it's a press conference or not, and maybe it's just, you know, word salad, you know, maybe he's just saying something, coach speak, whatever. That's a red flag to me when you think the zone read offense, and you say the zone read offense was difficult to implement your defense in college, and you think it's going to be different in the NFL. It's not. That's all my point is.
Yeah. So you guys are worried about college. I'm not. I'm only worried about the NFL.
Well, I mean, it's
which runs the college.
We're never going to. I understand that. I mean, on Illinois.
So what happened at Tampa then? If we're just gonna dismiss the 4 years at Illinois where he couldn't even incorporate his system, what happened?
They
at
were
Tampa?
Terrible in Tampa. They didn't have a lot of talent, and they were awful. He got fired after 2 years.
Okay, so
they were terrible.
It sounds like a guy who just doesn't really have a grasp of what's going on. We'll see, but I do know that. College and pros, do you at least agree that the gap between those two styles of football is smaller than it's ever been?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Here we go. John right. McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. I feel like I already got leg hike that segment, but it's about to come in full effect. World famous McClain leg hiking, presented by Horn Solutions, next.
John McClain said, "Thank you, Peggy."
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Concept is very simple. We throw our takes at John McClain. He either agrees or he hikes the leg. Start with Deshaun Watson. Who else? 16 days from the NFL draft. The Miami Dolphins and Philadelphia Eagles are the top two teams to watch when it comes to a potential trade involving Deshaun Watson?
I just looked up during the break. Lovie Smith's first season in Tampa, they were two and 14, and they lost 9 games by one score or less. They gave up 20 or less. And I always think if you give up 20 a game, you're pretty good defense. As bad as they were, they had 7 games with 20 or less, and their quarterbacks were Josh McCown and Mike Glennon, who were brought in by Jason Light, the general manager. Those two teams, sure. I don't think Miami's not in on it. I don't think anybody's in on it before the draft. I think they've committed to Tua Tagovailoa. But I think after the draft, if those two teams, sure. If they could get Deshaun Watson at a bargain discount, I think either one of them would be interested.
All right. Someone over at NRG is going to come to their senses, and John McClain will ask the first question at the next Texans press conference.
You guys worry about that, and I don't. So
it's news.
No,
you're John McClain.
Hike it.
All right.
If Lovie Smith were not from Texas and an old guy, John McClain wouldn't be such an apologist.
That's mean.
Boy, you don't like old guys, do you?
I love old guys.
You're going to be an old guy.
I love old guys.
No, absolutely. I like Lovie Smith. I think he deserves a chance. I don't write off anybody without watching them coach as Landry Locker does.
By the way, John, since we're looking up stuff during the break and you're looking up Lovie Smith, his stats, his defensive stats, his first year at Tampa Bay, let me present some more information for you here, because that year, that might have been the worst division in the history of the NFL. Not a single team in the division that year had a winning record. Carolina won it with a losing record. The Saints were 7-9. The Falcons were 6-10.
Numbers are hot.
So, of course, he had a good defense. That was a dog-butted division.
No, he didn't have a good defense. You're putting words in my mouth, as you do every week. I never said he had a good defense. I said they lost 9 one-score games, and they had, I can't remember now, 7 games where they allowed 20 or less points. I never said he had a good defense.
Okay, all right, there we go.
I just pointed out facts, as you did.
Okay, Deshaun Watson will play at least 4 games in 2021.
Ooh, I'll say hike it. Right now, I don't see him playing because he could be on the exempt list, suspended. Boy, if somebody traded for him.
That's
and
a good
he
number, though.
Wasn't
I think
on
four
the exempt
is the number. I think he'll get suspended 10
I'm
or 12.
Sorry. I can't take it back, but I would agree with it, even though I already hiked
already
it too
hiked
quick.
It too
sorry.
Late. Too late.
Let me shake here.
John McClain joining us, presented by Horn Solutions here on Sports Radio 610. The number 3 selection that would have been the Houston Texans pick, now the San Francisco 49ers pick, is the most intriguing draft selection in the last decade in the NFL.
Absolutely not. We know they're going to take a quarterback. The intriguing one is what happens with Atlanta. Does Atlanta take a quarterback to groom behind Matt Ryan? Do they take Kyle Pitts, the highest rated player behind Trevor Lawrence, or do they trade down? This draft starts with the Falcons at number 4.
All right. No Texan will have more than 5 sacks in 2021.
Well, let's see. Last year, none of them had more than 5 sacks. What are the odds they do that 2 years in a row? 4-man fronts, all about sacks. So I'd say hike it, Figgy. Somebody will have 6.
John McClain joining us, presented by Horn Solutions. Tyrod Taylor will start every game for the Houston Texans in 2021 at the quarterback position.
Tyrod Taylor will not start every game. In fact, he's lost his last 2 starting jobs in 18 and last season when he got hurt early in the season. So no way he starts every game.
A lot of hiking going on here. Justin Houston.
Let me get a sip of water.
Okay. Justin Houston will be a Houston Texan.
Man, I wish he would, but he, you know, he's playing out. He's an outside linebacker in a 3-4 now, not a 4-3 defensive end. So hike it, Figgy.
All right.
Brandon Cooks is the most exciting player on the Houston Texans roster right now.
Well, he is. That's a fact based on what he did last year. He is. They'd like to have somebody else step up, but right now you look at his stats, they don't have anybody else that ranked among the league leaders in anything.
Jadeveon Clowney will be a Cleveland Brown.
He should go to Cleveland if they make him an offer and play opposite Myles Garrett. You know, he hadn't done anything since 2018 when he was here. Take a contract based on how many games he plays. Go play for a Super Bowl contender on a great defense. Yes, Clowney should go to the Browns.
All right, I'm going to invite someone to the leg hiking party because Julian Edelman, before I invite someone to this party, Julian Edelman retired from the NFL yesterday. You're on the Hall of Fame committee. Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer.
Hike it, Fig. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Thank you.
5 years from now, I'll keep an open mind if I'm still doing it, as I try to do with everybody. But right now, to say a guy's a Hall of Famer, right when he retires, it's got to be a no-brainer, and he's not.
There you go. Thank you very much. We agree on something. We will wipe away our disagreements of the past. I now bring on Seth Payne. Seth Payne had a Julian Edelman, Tom Brady take a long time ago when he was on Mad Radio. I don't even remember what this take is, but I'm going to present it to you, and then I want John McClain to either agree with the Seth Payne take or disagree with the Seth Payne take.
I feel like a 21-year-old woman would actually still be more interested in Julian Edelman than a single Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's old now. I think that's
old.
Fair to say. I think no. I'm getting at least one female, one woman saying like,
yeah, that's but okay,
smart.
Okay, the woman shaking her head is closer to my age than she is a 21-year-old. I'm not saying that she's old. She's closer to my age.
That sounds now like a negative.
She's flipping me off. She's flipping me off.
But what? But here's the thing. DP is very young.
Oh no! What the hell, John? Mike, I already dug this hole, and now you're doing
now
this.
Now making it worse.
My goodness.
The woman we're talking about is not like in college right now, and you're
right.
and you're thinking
I'm
about
a college demographic. Girl is going to like Julian Edelman more than Tom Brady, probably.
Yes or no?
I have no idea what that was about. One of y'all got to ask me a question.
All right, John, a young woman during their time together would be more interested in Julian Edelman than Tom Brady.
Oh well, sure, why not?
Reggie Wayne should be in the Hall of Fame before Julian Edelman.
Absolutely.
That's what I said.
Sorry to offend you, John.
How about this one? I got another one. Torrey Holt should be in the Hall of Fame before Julian Edelman.
Well, absolutely.
There you go. There's the answer to the question.
When are you going to get back out to the yard? That's leg hiking presented by Horns.
I got one more. Speaking of the yard.
Go ahead, give him one more.
Zach Greinke will reconcile with his slider and throw it again in his next start.
Yes, he will. Couldn't be any worse. And I'll tell you what, fans need to start booing the Astros, banging on trash cans, cussing them out so they'll feel like they're on the road.
This is true.
Yeah, that's a hell of a theory. When are you going to get back out to the yard, John? That's one of your favorite things to do. When are you getting back out there?
What do you mean? Yard.
The ballpark.
To go to a game.
The juice box.
Oh, well, we thought about going last night, but I wish we had, but I had to work. I would like to have been there for the introduction of Hinch, which I thought was very cool.
You were going to boo him?
No. I have great respect for A.J. Hinch. And then after the way they played and I watched it, I'm glad I didn't go.
There you go. John McClain, right, presented by Horn Solutions. What's coming up in the Chronicle? Where can we see that pretty face of yours on TV?
Well, my ugly face was on Texas Sports Nation. I got podcasts. I got snippets from our TV show Sunday. I have a column tomorrow about the Texans defense, specifically the cornerback, linebacker, and a little bit on the pass rushers. And we'll have more the rest of the week. Thank you guys very much, as always. And I hope you have a great rest of the week.
There you too. Go. Our guy John McClain, best friend of Lovie Smith right there. John, yep. McClain, two peas in a pod right there.
But you see my point. I mean, I think everybody sees that point.
Which point?
When you talk
you
about
have a lot, dude.
We
you've been on fire
on
this
the
show.
Lovie Smith. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. When you talk about Lovie Smith and when he says he's intimating that the NFL is like it was when he left.
It's not even close.
And my point is the game passes people by
everybody
who are coaches just like players.
Everybody except Tom Brady.
Well, this is true,
but yeah, I mean look, this isn't like a reaction to a press conference,
and it's not a lack of respect for Lovie Smith.
When they hired Lovie Smith, we said, what is this?
Yeah,
what is this guy doing? Because I disagree with the notion that you can't immediately make an impact on defense in college. I disagree. Maybe I'm living in the past, but I'm from a the college football program I hire, they'll bring in new defensive coordinators every once in a while, and that guy will make an immediate impact. Like, even when Will Muschamp was lost, Will Muschamp could coach defense.
Sure.
Like, you could, teams bring in defensive coordinators every year in college football, and the defense improves significantly.
Right.
It happens all the time.
That's why he became the coach in waiting.
4 years, you couldn't put your system in, and your reference is not necessarily anything like tempo or speed. He literally said three wide receiver sets were too much, and you stay in your base defense. You don't think you're going to see three wide receiver sets in the NFL?
You're going to see 4 and 5.
By the way, that offense that was the has been the face of the Big Ten, that Ohio State offense that is so dominant, that dominated Illinois.
What do they do?
Well, I don't know what they do, but I know that the guy that kind of brought that philosophy there is in Jacksonville now, so you're going to face him twice. So, okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sold on the Lovie Smith thing. I'm just really, really not. I know, he's a guy with Texas roots. He's an OG and all that. But
it's not a matter of lack of respect for what the guy's resume is.
Not sold on him at all. Coming up, all of the drama in the NFL can still be tied back to the Texans. And a head start by those Jacksonville Jaguars. You won't believe what they're already getting to do out there in Jacksonville. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, the Texans have had a very eventful offseason. And we know what the main story has been for about a month or so. But this has been the quietest 4-day stretch when it comes to the Deshaun Watson situation. And through this whole process, whether it was the standoff and whether it's been the legal battle that Deshaun's been going through, we haven't heard from Deshaun Watson. Here's Rusty Harden, his attorney, talking about why Deshaun has been so quiet throughout the whole offseason, specifically during the legal battles that we've been talking about for the last month.
The reason is we don't know what happened for sure. And you've heard me talk all along here about how in the world are we supposed to respond when we don't know the names of the people. And I've seen some talking heads that say, well, I can find out who did it, right? I mean, they just go look and they match up dates and try to figure out. That's not what it's supposed to be about. We're not supposed to have to guess who is accusing us of doing something wrong. I have been guided throughout this by a strong fear. What if we disagreed with a woman and her petition, and it turned out we were wrong about who it was? You and everybody else would rightly scour us for that.
Now, and that's Rusty Harden saying why he's been silent, which I think goes back to that stupid Deshaun Watson initial tweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
Before he hired Rusty Harden, it wasn't sent from the phone that he's at least been tweeting on recently.
Right.
Rusty Harden wants Deshaun Watson not to say anything.
It's common sense. He got into trouble publicly. I mean, we know what the allegations are on the civil suits, but I'm talking about just his public perception by saying too much. You've pointed out some of the people in his circle have done some really dumb things. Common sense says you hire one of the best attorneys on the planet, you let that attorney and his representatives handle everything publicly.
Now, the amount of massages is the thing that we keep hearing about. And Friday, it was acknowledged that these were, in fact, maybe not all of them, but there were a large amount of massages set up by Deshaun Watson with consensual sexual activity. Here's Rusty Harden talking to people who might be skeptical about the amount of massages and the way in which these massages were set up by the current quarterback, I guess I can say, maybe not for long, but Deshaun Watson, current quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Folks, this guy has been getting 2 to 3 massages a week. The math I do on that is anywhere from 120 to 140 to 150 massages a year. In the year 2020, all of a sudden, spas shut down. Fact is, the massage world during the pandemic changed. If you look at these allegations, my calculation is every one of them occur after we shut down for the pandemic. I'm just saying that if you are a busy, active athlete, and you are traveling constantly, as he was, then you are going to have immediate, when you want to get one, you can't predict it ahead of time.
Okay, so There's the explanation of the massages, which you think that's kind of...
It's a little bit of a reach, because I think it's risky, too. Because he's talked about, well, the pandemic shut down, you know, a lot of these venues and these facilities, these therapeutic facilities, which is true. But I could easily see Tony Busby say, all right, well, let's cross-reference this a little bit. Let's ask J.J. Watt. Let's ask DeAndre Hopkins. Let's ask Will Fuller. Have you had 150 massages? Oh, no? Yes? Well, you know, whatever the answer may be, if it's something along the lines of maybe three or four different people to giving those massages, it doesn't mean a lot in terms of Deshaun Watson. Maybe that's just his style. But it certainly would shed some, you know, I guess, you know, curious looks in his direction.
Yeah, it was, and again, it's a press conference, so a lot of times stuff gets lost in translation and, you know, there's a game of telephone and everything like that. But it seemed like it was presented as, oh, this is an NFL athlete.
Like
this
it's
is
common
an NFL
place.
Quarterback. This is right. Common. Not necessarily this is how Deshaun Watson handles his situation. Mm-hmm. He likes to change it up with his massages. He thinks people work the muscles differently, so he figures that out. It wasn't just based on what I heard in a sound clip. Again, it might not even be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, when I listened to that, I thought of it as this is an NFL thing. It's not that uncommon for this to
right.
happen.
That's exactly what he wanted you to
this
believe.
Is what Deshaun Watson does, because different athletes do different things. But if that is the presentation that this is normal, then does that mean Charles Omenihu's getting – I'm not trying to put his name out there. I'm just using examples of Texans players. Like, does that mean that these guys are setting up three massages a week randomly?
Right. I think I could easily see Tony Busby listening to that and going, all right, he just gave us some good information there. He indicated that it might be commonplace for up to 150 different women to offer massages. Let's check that with other NFL players, with his peers, with his former peers, et cetera. I could see where that might be one that maybe backfires a little
bit.
Yeah,
like if any Texans player, like it almost sounded like he was saying, you know, Charles Omenihu, Brandon Cooks, mm-hmm. whoever, these guys are getting, and I find that, I don't know, because I'm not an NFL player.
I mean, he might be right.
Might be.
Yeah.
Who knows? He could be.
But I know Busby's going to look around.
Now, last week also, Deshaun Watson started losing endorsements. He lost Beats by Dre. Reliant said no thank you. HEB said we have no plans to do business with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
In the Loop said no thank you to the intro. The Texans said no thank you to the hype video. Here's Rusty Harden talking about the monetary losses that Deshaun Watson has suffered before this thing has even been decided in the court of law.
Y'all have talked about, I mean, you've seen about some of the endorsements being withdrawn or suspended because companies understandably don't know whether they want to be associated with him. We're not even addressing that. People can make money back up if they lose money. What they can't get back is their reputation.
Well, I think your reputation is kind of connected to companies wanting to do right. business with you as well.
Exactly. And he may make money again in endorsements, but he's not going to make back this money. This money's gone, to be honest. I mean, you know, whatever he was going to make in 2021, he might make more money on the back end somewhere, but he's not going to make this back.
Let's go back in time to Deshaun Watson's press conference when he signed his contract with the Houston Texans. This is a nice little piece of Deshaun Watson talking about that life-changing money and the next step for his career. This is Deshaun Watson back in the day talking about life-changing money, his future with the Texans. Hell, this was back in September. Really wasn't that long ago, but my gosh, has a lot happened since.
Been crying a little bit, a lot of it, really. It's just, you know, an amazing moment for me to be able to extend my career in a location, in a place, in a home. I would say that my family love, that I love, you know, I want to continue to dive into the community most of all and just continue to build my legacy, just build our legacy. You know, growing up, my word has always been legendary. And the Houston Texans organization, we haven't even got to that stage yet. And for me to be able to have that opportunity with a whole bunch of great other teammates, great coaching staff, great organization, and people up front, I want to be able to have that on my statue too. And that's what I've been working for. So The money is amazing. It's life-changing. It's great. But the biggest thing is for the McNair family, OB, Jack, to just trust in me and believe in me that, you know, I'm their guy, I'm their quarterback, is the biggest thing that really touches me. You know, growing up from where I'm from, there's not too many people to make it out. And so for them to, for them to just trust me, it means the most. So that's the biggest thing. The country, I knew it was that was going to take care of itself. My biggest focus was the locker room and just my performance on the field. Because that's, that's been something that really just got me from all the negativity. Just really all the negative stuff that we had experience growing up. So, that wasn't my biggest concern.
Deshaun, grown men do cry, don't they?
For sure, yeah.
From a football perspective, how committed are you to getting this organization to the next level, which you mentioned earlier, you know, that they haven't been to, and obviously, ultimately, this is why you're getting this life-changing contract?
Everything. A broken rib, punctured lung, torn ACL, whatever it takes. They have to really keep me off the field. Kidding the eyeball coming out, whatever it takes. I'm on that field. Until that doctor is forcing me and holding me down, I'm on the field trying to win. I'm trying to win at everything, just in life in general. Never trying to compare myself to other people. I'm focusing, on my situation, Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, and that's what I'm focused on and locked in on. So whatever it takes, I'm doing whatever it takes to get to what we want to get to.
Man, it's crazy listening to that now.
I was going to say the same thing.
It's weird.
It just...
Really weird.
Are you kind of sad? Doesn't it sound kind of sad, too?
I mean, it's sad.
Knowing what you know now?
Yeah, it just seems like the guy kind of changed. And I'm not even... I'm excluding what's happened the last month. I'm just talking about the whole mindset. Somehow, and again, I bring it back to the camp. The West Coast side of the camp. The athletes first side of the camp. And really, Mulugeta, I think, was trying to be some sort of pioneer for the NFL and stuff. And I think Deshaun kind of just – and I don't know if this is connected to what may not have happened. It just seemed like that guy that was really the last piece of Deshaun Watson speaking where I felt like the guy that I'd known when he was drafted by the Texans up to that – was the exact same guy. I feel like he got a little Hollywood after that.
When you heard that, I think everybody universally was just saying, that's my quarterback.
There you go.
That's my quarterback.
Let's put on the seatbelt. Let's ride.
Right?
This is a decade plus. Let's ride. Let's see where he takes us.
Yeah.
That was it.
And you felt so secure in this team's future, no matter the inadequacies of Bill O'Brien and Jack.
Sunday was going to be excited, and you were going to want to ride or die no matter what happened, no matter who was around, no matter who the coach was. You felt like you had that guy who you could strap on, you could put the jersey on, you could turn on the TV, and when you left the city of Houston, when they asked you where you're from, you would say Houston, Texas, and probably one of the first topics that would be brought up would be, how about that Deshaun Watson?
Right.
That's gone.
You, that was my quarterback. We were all saying that, and we also all believed not even Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien could screw this up. Well, they did.
They did, and that's where we are, and there's a whole nother element to it in front of us. Wasn't that long ago, though, when it was all about Clowney. 2 years ago, to be exact, would he sign the franchise tag? Would he report to camp? What's up with Jadeveon Clowney? Two mess stints afterwards with Seattle and then with the Titans. Same old somewhat for Jadeveon Clowney.
I'm a lover, man.
Could end up in Cleveland. We don't know. Here's Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee show talking about the third straight year of where's he going to go, Clowney drama.
How about this? You know what he turned down in Cleveland last year, right? 3 for 57. That is what he turned down. And I don't think he's going to get that here. I mean, if he does end up signing, it'll probably be a shorter term deal. But
who's your source?
The Browns have been after him.
Who's your source on the 3-year 50 something? Was that a legit thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. So basically what Clowney did was hijack my entire summer, which let's just hope he signs this week so I don't have to do Clowney watch again next year. I got golf to play.
Clowney gives a single f*** about Ian Rappaport's golf game.
Well, that's probably true, too. Clowney, he's got to almost, you know, as much as we've sort of defended him and worth the, you know, he's still a dominant player without the sacks, et cetera. He does have to reset and have to take a step back. And I think that's good news for the Browns. I mean, the Browns are going to get a guy that you have to game plan for, it seems like anyway, that you, that can still disrupt games, that can still score touchdowns on the cheap. Maybe he's going to be at 60, 70 cents on the dollar.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Now all signs, the drama. We talk about Clowney no longer being with the Texans, also no longer with the Texans, that number 3 overall pick. That instead belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. You want to talk about an exciting offseason. Just imagine if we were building up to that number 3 overall pick with the Texans pretty much on the clock because we know who the first two selections are going to be. Here's Ian Rappaport talking about the what would have been number 3 overall selection for the Houston Texans and where the San Francisco 49ers sit with that whole situation.
It's weird to me when the big trade happens before the draft. We've seen some where it has and some where it hasn't. And it does feel like the craziness almost has already happened with the 49ers trading up and the Dolphins trading back and trading up again. The 49ers are doing all the work. I believe there is a leader in the clubhouse. I don't know who, although the conventional wisdom is that it's Mac Jones, but I know there's been no final decision. I believe Trey Lance would also be heavily in the conversation in San Fran. Probably the most interesting quarterback decision we've seen in some time, especially if it's Mac Jones, who I think some people view as more of a mid to late first rounder. But that pick, how sold they are on Mac Jones at 3, if that is it, is going to be the most fascinating pick we've seen in a very, very long time.
That's good stuff, but I will disagree with Ian Rappaport, as good as he is on these things. I can just tell you right now, Landry, it's going to be crazy. The craziness has not stopped. Just because Jacksonville knows who they have, the Jets know who they have, there's still a possibility that the Niners could end up with Fields. I mean, they're at the pro day, you know, they're going to be at the pro day with him running their own stuff. And then Atlanta at 4, everybody's going to be clamoring for that. Or are they going to get, or are they going to get a quarterback?
Can't wait.
Miami.
It's going to be so fun.
Who moved back to number 6.
So fun.
If they don't, you know, they might, you know, be able to move back again because 4 quarterbacks probably could be taken. Probably could. Sorry about that. Could be taken in the first 4 picks. It's going to be nuts in the first 15 picks.
Now we know, I'm intrigued by this draft. This is going to be so exciting. Now we know who the number 1 overall pick is going to be. It is going to be Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're apparently not wasting any time. Apparently they're getting a head start on things with Trevor Lawrence. Here's Ian Rappaport on that.
Jacksonville Jaguars are able to do some Zoom calls with Trevor Lawrence. So what they've done particularly is give him a lot of their football knowledge that he would like, that they'd like him to retain. Plays they run, looks they show, some stuff in their playbook, kind of see what he retains. And this really is where, from my understanding, Trevor Lawrence has impressed them, being able to talk like he's already a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's how well he can retain things. Just another reason why they are expected to go with him at number 1.
There you go. So they're already incorporating stuff with Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be number 1. Looks like Wilson number 2. Still some uncertainty at number 3. We thought maybe the Texans would be able to trade into that top 10. Carolina was believed to be a team that would be the most aggressive. However, they elected to go with Sam Darnold last week. Sam Darnold met with the media types for the first time. That's what Sam Darnold had to say.
You know, obviously there's more losses than wins, but I've been proven to, you know, win football games here. Yeah, you know, I think all things considered, you know, just timing wise, things didn't really work out towards the end. But, you know, like I keep saying, I'm just excited to be here.
I think Darnold's going to do more than just fine. I think he's going to be very good for the Panthers. I like his system there. I like his head coach.
Got Joe Brady.
Joe Brady is going to be calling, is going to be running the show. I think he found a home. I really do.
Julian Edelman retires yesterday as a New England Patriot. The Hall of Fame debate will begin today. John McClain said no. Astros lose their 3rd straight yesterday. The return of A.J. Hinch. Zach Greinke Most earned runs he's ever allowed, 6 4 2/3. Tied for the most hits, 10. Not pleased with the slider either. Here is Zach Greinke talking about the death of the slider.
Zach, where are you with your slider right now?
I don't want to ever throw it again after today. It was bad. Their team's not a good slider hitting team. Threw it where I wanted sometimes, and they hit it good still. So, been a big negative to the season, spring training and season. I had one good game with it against Oakland. It's just been bad. So, focus on the other pitches, the pitches that I throw good from here on out.
Three straight losses for the Astros. Look to get back in the win column tonight. The debut of Jake Odorizzi for the Stros out there at the Juice Box. Stros, by the way, 10 games through, one game back of the Angels for first place in the AL West.
And Greinke is going to reconcile with his slider. He'll throw the slider again. Keep in mind, there's a nobody's talking about. I mean, A.J. Hinch knows his tendencies, knows maybe to tell players to sit on that slider when he throws it. Stuff like that. It might not be just he's not throwing the slider like he used to.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
A.J. Hinch gets the dub. He ends his losing streak, by the way. Astros have a 3-game losing streak at the Juice Box. A.J. lost 4 straight. Mm-hmm. Last time he won a game at the Juice Box was the Jose Altuve walk-off, I believe.
I think you're right.
If I'm not mistaken. They lost all 4 in the World Series. So A.J. Hinch snaps his losing streak. Astros' losing streak continues. Hopefully Odorizzi can get it done. Coming up, so the death of the slider, we don't believe it. What about the death of a Deshaun Watson trade? Is it still alive? John McClain says no. I'm starting to think it might actually happen. We'll discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.